Well, we want to welcome you back to the Word for Life radio ministry, sponsored by Brookside Baptist Church. We'd love to have you visit with us any opportunity that you may have if you're in the Brookfield, Wisconsin area. We're continuing our study of the correctable Christian. The last time we looked at King Saul, as Samuel confronted him with evidence of his sin, instead of being responsive, instead of being repentant, he rationalized, he blamed it on others, and then he wanted to be honored before the people. You know, Saul never understood. He never got it that God will bless confession, but he won't bless rationalization. In fact, Proverbs 28:13 says that if we cover our sin, we're not going to prosper. But if we confess and forsake it, we'll find mercy. Now, the opposite of King Saul is King David. You remember the story of David sinning a horrible, horrible sin with Bathsheba. And God again sent a prophet. This time his name was Nathan. And the Bible tells us that Nathan came into David's throne room and began to tell him a make-believe story. The story was so close to what David had done in his sin against his neighbor Uriah and taking his wife Bathsheba and having immorality with her. So close, but yet sin makes you stupid. David had no clue that Nathan was even confronting him over his sin. He didn't know that Nathan knew about his sin. But God knew about his sin. And so God sent Nathan to confront him. Notice chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, verses 13 and 14. After he's confronted with this sin, David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because of this deed that thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, that means to abhor or to despise God. Nathan said, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. We then go to verse 19, and when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he had required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Now, here's the process of correction that God wants to see in our lives. This is what we could see as a correctable Christian. This is the type of response that leads to Christian growth. This is exactly what the Lord has in mind when he describes in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 11, how you and I should respond. It says, no chastening of the present seemeth be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. So you can see then that God is saying, I want to correct you. I want to bring about the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now, it could be that you may be experiencing discipline without profiting from it. You see, you have to be the one that determines what your attitude is going to be about the discipline and about the correction. Punishment is not what God does. Correction is what God does. God wants you to grow in your relationship with him. God wants you to see this as a profitable time. He doesn't want you to go through the discipline without profiting from it. Now, we see that David sinned. I mean, it says in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 27 that after David had tried to cover up his sin, the last phrase of chapter 11 says, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Displeased the Lord. All right, so let's compare David and Saul. See, human reasoning would tell us that David's sins were greater than Saul's sins. Saul offered a sacrifice instead of waiting for the prophet to come. Saul didn't kill all of the Amalekites like God told him to. But what did David do? Man, David committed immorality with his next-door neighbor. David had her husband killed. David covered up the sin as best he could. Amazing difference. But you see, the great difference in God's mind is, what is the attitude when corrected? So the question is, what is your attitude when God is correcting you? In attempting to cover our own sins, we experience no peace. Proverbs 28:13 says that if we confess and forsake, we find mercy. If you want to have peace after you've sinned, after you've messed up, then you have to be a correctable Christian. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:1 that we are justified with God and we have peace with God. You justify yourself, you don't have peace with God. But if you're justified with God, if you come to the Lord and say, Lord, what you've said about my sin is right, then you'll find peace. Now let's talk about how to receive correction with grace. How do you do it? Well, first of all, you let down the defenses. You stop defending yourself. And you don't attack the human channel. However, the correction came. You don't attack that human channel. Many times, that's the way we want to respond. We may have issues in our lives, and God sends someone. And sometimes it's someone that we don't necessarily like. But the question is, are we going to have our defenses up and therefore not be correctable? Or are we going to let down the defenses and let God use anybody that He wants to use to bring us face to face with our sin? So let down your defenses. Secondly, listen seriously to the spoken word. See, when I'm defensive, I rarely listen. I rarely listen when I'm defensive. And so many times as the counseling pastor, I'm counseling couples that they're both defensive and neither of them are listening. But when God is speaking to us, when God is speaking to us through His Word or maybe through a preacher or some other medium, listen seriously to what God is saying. Allow God to use anyone to help you. And thirdly, evaluate the correction. Is it valid? Have you been misunderstood? Maybe that needs to be discussed. But if what they say is valid, then disregard who it is that said it, who it is that is the medium of that correction, and simply focus your attention on God and simply say, Lord, are you speaking to me? Is this your correction to me? And then number four, accept it graciously. That was the difference between Saul and David. David immediately said, I have sinned. And God immediately said through Nathan, your sin is forgiven. You will not die. So you've got to accept the word of God as it's shared. Your spirit is often more important than your situation. What is your spirit when you're confronted with your sin? If it's one of excuses, if it's a haughty spirit, if it's blaming other people, no. You will never be blessed by God because you're not willing to face up to the exceeding sinfulness of your sin. You're not willing to accept it graciously. Then lastly, be thankful. Be thankful. The reproofs of instruction are the ways of life, Proverbs 6:23. The reproofs of instruction are the ways of life. In other words, when God sends you an instructor, regardless of who he is, he is trying to give you the ways of life. And when God wants to forgive you, you've got to forsake that sin. In fact, if you're not willing to forsake your sin, God's not willing to forgive your sin. So many times I'm counseling folks that want to get rid of the consequences of their sin, but they don't want to get rid of the sin itself. And so, how correctable are you? Where are you in your walk with the Lord? Are you open to His correction? Or are you kind of lifted up in pride? Would the people that know you best have to say about you, yeah, pride is an issue in his life. Yes, pride is an issue in her life, and often that's evidenced by anger when things don't go your way, maybe at church, maybe in your home, maybe in your marriage, maybe with your parents. Pride. You see, before you start serving Christ, Satan will tell you how incapable you are. But after you've served Christ for a while, Satan tells you how great you are. And before you know it, you begin to be proud. But a proud person is incapable of being corrected. Because it's somebody else's fault. It's not my fault. Is that where you are this morning? Are you incapable of being corrected? When the preacher's preaching, are you just leafing through your Bible? Are you doing other things to try to disregard what the preacher is saying because you're not open to God's correction? Maybe when a member of your family is sharing something with you in love, and they're saying, this is something that's hurting our relationship or hurting our family, would you seriously consider making some changes? How do you respond to that? Do you respond in anger? Do you respond with moodiness? Do you respond with tears? Tears to manipulate everybody else around you? Or are you a correctable Christian? Now, your best friends know you best. What would they say? What would your children say about you, Mom? What would they say about you, Dad? You correct them. But do they ever see you responding biblically to correction yourself? Is this something that God is working in your life this morning? This could be the most important morning of the entire year. When you begin to evaluate that God is speaking to you, and God is using this simple little comparison, are you a King Saul? If so, you'll respond in pride, and you'll be set aside. Or are you a King David? If so, you'll respond with humility, and God will respond with forgiveness. The correctable Christian. I trust that this short study will enable you to look into the mirror of the Word of God and to ask yourself, what have I seen in my life? And what changes need to take place? And before you start your day, why don't you start it with Christ? Confessing your sin, asking Him for forgiveness, which He's promised to give you, and begin your day and the rest of your life free, because you've become a correctable Christian.